I want to look here at something that's going to help us, I believe, in the title here, in My Spirit-Controlled Life. And we're going to look at that today. We're going to look at how to live a Spirit-Controlled Life. And we'll be in Ephesians this morning again. And I enjoyed your study, and I'm liking it so far, and hope you are as well. And so I'll ask you some questions here after we get started. Do you want the most out of life? Do you want to have a happy home? No, I think most do, because we got a picture or a writing says something about only that bless those who come inside and abide here in our home. And you know, if you got it Hobby Lobby, if you go to Hobby Lobby, you'll see things about that, like a happy home, blessed home. And of course, we all want to have a happy home. Do you want to have a thriving marriage? Do you want to be content? Do you want to have joy? Do you want to treat people the way you want to be treated? I mean, now, I'm not saying did you, but do you want to? I do. I mean, I fail, but I want to treat people the way that I want to be treated. More than that, I want to treat people the way God wants me to treat them. Do you want to do what's right? And as a Christian, that should be your desire. You know, that's one of the key differences between unsaved and saved. And sometimes not so much how well you live. That's important. But the desire, do you have a desire to want to do what's right? Well, I believe, without getting you to answer out loud, that the answer to all of them will be yes. Yes, I want the most out of life. Yes, I want to have a happy home. Yes, I want to have a thriving marriage. Yes, I want to be content. Yes, I want to have joy. Yes, I want to do what's right. And the answer then to this is only one. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Warren Wimby said this: it is only through the power of the Holy Spirit that we can walk in harmony as husbands and wives, parents and children, and employer and employees, okay? That was just one little section he went on. But what he says is true, is we must allow the Holy Spirit to control our lives. Oh, but the world says otherwise. For you to be happy, for you to have a good marriage, for you to be content, for you to have joy, you must control your life. You must decide what you do and what you don't do. Well, that's not true. The best thing and the only thing that can give you things is the Holy Spirit. The only way this will happen is for you to live a life that is Spirit controlled. Let's read these verses. Starting in verse 18. And be not drunk with wine, wherein in excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourself one to another in the fear of God. One thing about preaching through a book is you had to preach verses that you wouldn't normally preach. And I'll be the first to say this would not be my first pick of a text. But as I studied it, and hopefully with the Lord's guidance, it's exactly what we need today. So let's pray. Father, I'm going to ask you for the next few minutes. Lord, I know that there's probably not one person, honestly, in this room that's not got something going on in their life. Lord, it may be a diagnosis, or it may be a passing of a loved one, or it may be some trouble and issues that they've got going on in their life, you know. And Lord, and you care about that, and so do we. And Lord, I do ask you to be with each of the problems that's been spoken, or maybe not spoken. Lord, there are probably people here that's not said a word to anyone, which I think they should. They need to share their burden. But Lord, they may not share it with anyone. And Lord, I want you to help them with that. But at the same time, Lord, we're here today, not by accident. And I ask you, Lord, to help them, Lord, just to just focus on your truth, not me, but the truth that we're going to learn today, Father, that can help us have the peace, to have the joy, and to have a victorious Christian life, Lord. The thing we're going to look at today, the truths, Lord, help us to have a focus on them things and apply it to their life, Lord. And I ask you to minister to us right now. And Lord, I ask you, Father, to speak to us. And Lord, help us to change. Help us, Lord, if you convict us, Lord, that we will make a change. We'll confess that, Lord, and walk with you even better than we are now. And I thank you for what you've done in Christ's name. Amen. How to live a spirit-controlled life. There's three things. Number one, beware of the competition. Beware of the competition. You know, what do you mean? Well, let's look here. And letter A here is the prohibition. Okay, in verse 18, you see here, and be not drunk with wine. Okay, now these verses we just read, these four verses, they're all one sentence in the Greek. Okay, so from verse 18 to 21 is just one sentence. Okay, I'm pretty sure that would be a run-on sentence in English, but not in Greek. I guess I don't know. But anyway, it's one sentence. And there's only two commands in this whole thing. Because you'll see there it says, speaking to yourself. You'll see submitting. You'll see giving thanks. Now, obviously, them are, I guess, commands, but they're not imperatives in the Greek. The only imperative that you see in the text, if you was to study the Greek, and I don't know how to do that, but I just read somebody who does, and they said there's only two commands, and that is be not drunk with wine, and be filled with the Spirit. Now, the meaning are filled with the Spirit will help us understanding the meaning behind be not drunk with wine, okay? And I'm gonna go into this more detail in the second point. But for now, I want you to listen to what Warren Wimsby said. Being filled with the Spirit, filled means to be controlled, okay? It means to be controlled. By the way, I'm going to say this later, but I'm going to hit myself. When you get saved, you get the Spirit. You have the Spirit, okay? So being filled with the Spirit has to mean something besides that, and it does, and what you can remember, we're going to talk about in point two, but it means be filled with the Spirit, okay, to be controlled, okay, filled means to be controlled. Now, Paul is saying this, don't be controlled by wine, instead, be controlled by the Spirit. So Paul here is prohibiting being controlled by alcohol and redirecting us to be controlled by the Spirit. Now, here's the question. Why did Paul bring up alcohol? Well, in context. In Paul's day, the cult, I'm going to try to pronounce it, I'm not saying it right, but Dionysus is a god that was common in Paul's world and in Ephesus. Here's what they said. Wild, frenzy, dancing, and uncontrolled raving in connection with drinking wine. The purpose of the intoxication was to have this god enter the body of the worshiper and fill him with enthusiasm of the spirit of that god, okay? So, my point here, if Paul didn't bring up alcohol to illustrate some particular truth about being filled with the Spirit, which is what charismatic will do, you act crazy when you're drunk, so now you get filled with the Spirit, you act crazy too. No, 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 none of that, none of that. He's addressing an actual temptation, something that these believers are actually facing. That is being controlled by something besides the Spirit, and in this case, alcohol. In other words, this be not drunk with wine is simply saying don't be controlled by alcohol, but be controlled by the Spirit, because that's what they're being faced by. Now, there's nothing wrong in this point, at this point, diving into the topic of alcohol, because the verse does bring it up. But the reality is this verse isn't here for the purpose of debating alcohol. Robert Pick really said, he said the emphasis of this verse falls on the positive command, be filled with the Spirit. So now, I'm fine preaching on alcohol. I'm probably going to at some point. But this verse, and let me tell you, if we're going to preach through these verses, me going off the trail and preaching a 20, 30 minute sermon on alcohol is not the purpose of this text. You understand what I'm saying? And that's not the purpose. That's what the problem is. Right now, if you take that verse and you start studying about, and you start wanting to debate about alcohol, then you're missing the point of this passage. This passage is not a manual on alcohol in a Christian. It's not. Because truthfully, this verse does not condemn nor condone drinking alcohol. It doesn't. So truthfully, even if we're going to debate alcohol, the only thing you can use this verse for is to say that getting drunk is wrong. Now, I'll say now, I didn't put anything in my notes about this because I don't want to spend much time with it. I think it's wrong to drink. I don't drink. I don't plan on drinking. But I will say this. You need to do more than a 3-minute soapbox speech on the alcohol in the Bible. It's going to take at least a good sermon and dividing the word rightly, okay? Because truthfully, in the New Testament, you don't really have any precepts that condemn or condone drinking alcohol. And I had to call one of my mentors to find out. Now, do I think it's wrong? Yes. Yes. There's principles in the Word of God that I think make it clear that the answer for a Christian is no. No, you shouldn't drink alcohol. But if you're going to act like the 11th command is thou shalt not drink alcohol, then you're not right. And on the other hand, if you think that there's a verse in the Bible that says love your neighbor and crack open a beer, then you're wrong too. No, I think it's wrong, yes. Yes. But that's not the purpose of this message. And I will one day probably address it because it's such a hot topic. I don't understand why, because the Bible says clearly it's not wise. By the way, the argument today, I'm going to say this. I'm going to pose, if you're there that you think it's okay to drink alcohol, I'm going to pose a question. And I need your answer to this later. And if it's wrong to get drunk, then how do we know what drunkenness is? I'm not Bible, really. I just need to know that. I need to know that. I don't mind letting the Bible speak for itself. And I have no problem with that. But if drunkenness is wrong, then where's that line at? How do we know? I just need to know that. Because according to the billboard, buzz driving is drunk driving. So, are you drunk the minute you get a buzz? Is that the case? And you can't drink much alcohol. Anyway, that's just a question that I've always wondered that, okay? And I can go into a lot of other things, okay? By the way, better best is all principles, okay? Better best, isn't it best? It involves it, it's not wise. You know, there's a lot of things that are not, it's not wrong, technically, for the moment, for me to go out at lunch with a woman that's not my wife. It's not actually wrong, is it? But is it wise? Well, why do we not apply it to alcohol? Now, that's a question. I've talked to some of my contemporaries who I can tell they're flirting with this alcohol thing, and they go on and on, and I say this, well, is it wise? What? No, it's not wise. No, if I was able to deceive by anyway, I'm not going to get on that sermon. I didn't put anything in my notes about that. But the problem, the issue, though, that's not what we should be talking about right now. What it is they had competition. He prohibited it because they're being tempted to be controlled by alcohol, and Paul said, you are to be controlled by the Spirit. And here's the thing, here's what is at hand. We are to be controlled by the Spirit and nothing else. Easier said than done, right? Let's look here at letter B, the temptation. We have an opposition. You know that, right? If you're a Christian, you have an opposition. The flesh is opposing you. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 through 17 says, then I say, then walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to another, so ye cannot do the things that you would. So here's the thing, the flesh is opposing you and wanting to control you. I want you to understand that. Right now, you get up every day, your flesh is going to tempt you to let it control you other than the Spirit. So here is some other options besides the Spirit controlling you. And number one, I will have to say, is drunkenness. That is an option. Galatians 5:21, the work of the flesh, one of the things it says is drunkenness. There's no doubt that it is one of the options. But there's also more than one option. Just because today, I want you to understand, just because you're not being controlled by alcohol, which is, I hope you're not, that's a good thing, doesn't mean you're being controlled by the Spirit. Oh, there's many things that control you other than alcohol. Here are some other things I wrote down. Anger. Wrath. Luke 4:28. And all they in the synagogue and they heard these things were filled with wrath. And by the way, filled means controlled. They were controlled. Hey, just because you're not controlled by alcohol don't mean you're not controlled by something else. Are you controlled by anger? Are you controlled by hate? Are you controlled by wrath? Hey, who's the known? Lust. Lust, 1 Thessalonians 4 said, that everyone should know how to possess his vessel, not in the lust of conspicuous, even as a Gentile. Oh, here's the thing. Let me ask you, today, are you being controlled by lust? And by the way, not just sexual lust, just lust. I mean, we live in America where most people are guilty of lusting after stuff. Lusting after stuff. I was looking at knives last night. I want two or three different knives. One's a bench-made knife, and it's really nice, really expensive. Lust. That was controlling you. Sometimes, I've said it before, and you're going in a store and come out sad because you didn't get everything you wanted. You know what that is? That's lust. You're being controlled by lust, and you're not able to get everything that you want. Are you controlled by, I put these three down, greed, covetousness, and materialism. And Luke said, and he said to them, take heed, beware of covetousness. For a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. That should be the life verse of America. I think that what we think, oh, what I own is what I'm about. And does that control you? Does greed control you? Does materialism control you? Hey, bitterness. No, bitterness can control a lot of people. But that was controlling you today. See, we have competition. Every day you get up, there's something wanting to control you besides the Spirit and speech. James said, for in many things we offend all, and any man not in the word, the same as a perfect man. Hey, some people, you know, we also control the tongue, but some people, their tongue control them. Imagine that controlling you today. And when you say, well, I can't help myself, that means that the tongue is controlling you. What's controlling you? Hey, jealousy. Jealousy. That right there gets a lot of people. You know, envy. You know, that's one of the why I still have a Facebook account. But I get on it very rarely. You know why? Because it's easy to become jealous. I can't think of anyone else. You know, most people probably struggle with this a lot more than they don't admit. But I know I do. Especially when I see other churches. And all what's going on there, I get jealous. I battle that. So I was like, no, why don't you get off there? Hey, you're not controlling you? Is jealousy controlling you? Laziness. Human wisdom. Romans said, perfect themselves to be wise, to become as fools. Are you controlled by your own wisdom? Fear. So many people are living in fear. Even Christians. I put this one down. Unthankful spirit. Some people, all they do is grumble and complain. That controlling you? Oh, that was what I was about in Sunday school, revenge. It kind of goes with bitterness, but are you just after revenge and you just can't let something go? Hey, that controlling you? See, well, this list is no way a complete list of all the things that can control you, but you get the point. The point is there is competition for control. Today, if you're going to live a spirit-controlled life, you're going to have to be aware of the competition that is after you and after your affection and after your loyalty, and you're going to have to identify that in your life, and you're going to have to get it out. You're going to knock it off his throne. Because you know why? Because God isn't going to share the throne. And you get up in the morning, and you say, I'm going to serve bitterness and God. No. You're serving bitterness. You say, I'm going to serve materialism. No. Only one thing can control you. Either them things or God. Let me ask you this. What in your life that is controlling you? What's controlling you? To live a spirit-controlled life, you're going to have to get whatever else that's controlling you out. So, number one, beware of the competition. Number two, obey the command, okay? Letter A here is the arrival of the spirit. And by the way, this is a very explosive topic. Because you got alcohol, you got the spirit, you know, the coming of the spirit, and then you got singing, okay? So music. So that's the three hot topics in church. But the spirit is an important one. And by the way, the arrival of the spirit, when you get saved, you get the spirit. When a person truly trusts Christ and his Savior, he's immediately baptized by the spirit into the body of Christ. All Christians are permanently dwelled with the Spirit. It's not something you get later or more of. The Spirit dwells at the moment of salvation. It's not a dramatic event select for a few sudden, for people, a sudden experience. Being filled is not the same as being possessed. You aren't. One commentary said like this, you are possessed with the Spirit. Don't sound real good to the brother Daryl. But you are. You have the Holy Spirit if you're saved. Being filled is not a progressive receiving Him by degrees. Scripture says, but by one Spirit, we are all baptized into one body, whether it be we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be born or free, we are all made and drink into one Spirit. Now He, in 2 Corinthians 5, now He that has wrought us for the same self thing is God, who also has given us the earnest of the Spirit. When you get saved, you receive the Spirit. Once again, this is a time that we can go off course and talk about that. Nothing wrong with that, but let's stay on task. But here's the thing, you see the arrival of the Spirit, and it's important, let it be here, the authority of the Spirit. Now here's where we get to the stuff that really matters. The Bible says here in verse 18, be filled with the Spirit. Okay, the problem here is so many times we get so focused on the first part of that verse, and we start debating and all that, that we forget that the command and what Paul really driving at here is for you to be filled with the Spirit. Okay, so now I want you to understand, it's a command. It's an imperative. This command is in a plural sense, which means this applies to all Christians. If you're a Christian today, what we're talking about applies to you. And don't apply just to the deacon, and don't apply just to the preacher, and don't apply to people who are more mature. It applies to all of you. You can be saved one day, and this command applies to you. And also, is in the passive tense, which means you are saved. If you are saved, being filled with the Spirit is something that we don't do, but we permit the Spirit to do. Okay? So it's something we permit. So that's very important. It's something we allow the Spirit to do, okay? But we can't actually do it, okay? So stay with me. And it's a command is in the present tense. So it's plural. It's for all of us. It's passive, which means it's the Spirit that's doing it. And it is present tense, which means to keep on filling. This is something we should do all the time. Every day, okay? Very important. I know it's a little boring. It's a little technical, but it's pretty important. We're breaking down what this means. It's important. So be filled with Spirit is a command, and it means controlled by. One Wimpy says that in the Bible, filled means controlled by. They were filled with wrath, which means they were controlled by wrath. For that reason, they tried to kill Jesus. The Jews were filled with envy, meaning that the Jews were controlled by envy and opposed the ministry of Paul. To be filled with the Spirit means to be constantly controlled by the Spirit in our mind, emotion, and will. Robert Pickerel said, if we say someone is filled with jealousy or filled of love, we mean that everything is affected by that. And he does or say or feel the quality in the parent in their attitude and action. He is dominated by it. God being filled with God's Spirit mean that they are under the controlling influence and that He is at work in everything we do, say, and feel. Weiss goes on to say this. Therefore, the fullness of the Spirit has reference to His control over the believer yielded to Him. So what's happening here is we are commanded to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. Let me ask you, are you allowing the Holy Spirit to control you? See, that's the thing that we have to permit this. The Holy Spirit doesn't do it. We have to permit. We have to allow it. Oh, by the way, I got it somewhere later, but we do believe in free will. So this ought to be right down your alley if you believe in free will. Are you allowing the Holy Spirit to control you? Is the Holy Spirit controlling you? Or is fear controlling you? Is bitterness controlling you? Is lust controlling you? Is greed controlling you? Is pride controlling you? Is jealousy controlling you? Or anger? Those things are not to control you. The Spirit is. That's the thing. That's literally what it's saying. All it's really saying is you are to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. Now, how do I allow the Holy Spirit to control me? This is going to get you. Obey. That's really it. When Bird Dale makes fun of me, and I bow my fist, I'm going to hit him in the face, and I say, the Holy Spirit speaks, and through the Word of God, love your enemies. That's when I say, I'm going to obey. I'm going to let the Spirit control me. That's it. That's really it. That's really all it is. It's not, once again, I've told you before, it's really, most of the Word of God is very logical. Now, I know the Holy Spirit is supernatural and it's spiritual, but it's very logical. And John MacArthur is being filled, involved day by day, moment by moment, submission to the Spirit's control. Being filled with the Spirit doesn't mean you come to church and you get this excited feeling, which is fine. That's not really what it's talking about. That's not what it is. You know, about being controlled day by day, moment by moment. We are to be kind and patient and compassionate, being controlled by the Spirit in you doing them things. That's all it is. Being controlled by the Spirit is saying, I got the Spirit in me to give me the ability to do this. I've got the Word of God which tell me what to do. And it basically saying, I'm going to do that. That's really all it is. See, so you know what? You know why we don't like hearing that? Because that puts the ball in your court. So we like to think that being filled with the Spirit or being controlled by the Spirit is some mystical, turn my brain off and just woo. Well, no, that's not it. The Holy Spirit is not in Galatians, is not a perpetual motion machine. The Holy Spirit don't just take over you and just do everything for you like a robot. No. No. And you're like walking in the Spirit. Your flesh wants to do one thing, and the Spirit and the Word of God are telling you to do another, and it's saying, I'm not going to do what the flesh wants, I'm going to do what the Spirit wants. That is being controlled by the Spirit. It comes to submission and yielding yourself to God, because I think the Holy Spirit is there. He's telling you what to do. The Word of God is telling you, and all that together, you know what to do. It's just a matter of doing it. It's a matter of yielding. And he's saying, not my way, but your way. It means when you want to gossip about someone, you don't. Because you know that it isn't what the Spirit wants you to do. Being told by the Spirit is a very deliberate and purposeful choice. It's not some mystical, ecstatic, chaotic, mysterious experience that you don't know what's going on. And simply letting God tell you what to do and in doing it. That's it. And knowing that you have a free will by saying, not my will, but your will. Hey, doesn't that sound like somebody? Doesn't that sound like Jesus? That's literally what it is. And by the way, he was crucified. We have to die to ourselves. We have to sacrifice ourselves every day. I die daily. That's what it means. It means saying, not my will, but your will, God. And saying, no, I want to be bitter today, but I'm not going to. No, I don't want to forgive that person, but I'm going to. It means, no, I don't want to love that person, but I'm going to. Because I know what the Word of God said. And that is being controlled by the Spirit and obeying the command. That's really it. That's really it. How to be Spirit controlled? Be aware of the competition. Obey the command. And then number three, evaluate the consequences. You know, what do you mean? Well, if you're being controlled by the Spirit, there'll be consequences. And if you don't, there'll be consequences. Now, if you walk in the Spirit, there's good consequences, okay? And you can obviously read the fruit of the Spirit, which will be a great place to start. But in our text, there's really three things that point out. You know, the inward, upward, and outward. Letter A here is the inward. And it's joy. Like it says here in verse 19, speaking to yourself in psalm and hymn and spiritual song, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. You know what singing is? It's the evidence of joy. I don't sing a lot. I'm getting away from the church setting. I don't sing a lot, but I sing every now and then. And you know when I sing, Brother Darrell? When life's going good. And life for me, usually getting up, going fishing, catching fish, that's the key. I just enjoy being out there. No. You know, I would just like the sunset. No. I want to catch fish. I mean, that's why I'm there. I want to be successful. If I'm not successful, I didn't have a good time. Just like if you don't win, you don't have a good time. Winning is fun. I'm there to win. Going home and, you know, going out to eat, you know, and things like that, having a good day. And I can't myself singing, because here it is. It's really not Bible what I'm saying, but when you sing, it causes joy. You're happy. And obviously, one guy said that the Spirit-filled life produces music. Whether he has a good voice and cannot carry a tune, the Spirit-filled Christian is a singing Christian. Nothing is more indicating of a fulfilled life and a contented soul and a happy heart than expression of song. And by the way, that's what they're doing here. And then I want you to sing. And by the way, I ain't silent to the radio. Now, I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with that. New singing. New. The most important music in this church, or any church, in my opinion, is when we are singing. Because that's what we're supposed to do. Personal. We've got nothing wrong with performing music, nothing wrong with public display of music, but personal music to God is what's most important. You know why? And that, because it indicates joy. Now, man, do you sing songs to God? I've been singing The Willow. I've got a hymn book at the house. I've been singing songs to her. Liv is singing better than I do, but I sing them. But do you sing to God? Do you sing at church? That's why we do it. We sing. We don't sing because, you know, somebody didn't write down, okay, the formula of the church. Songs, preaching, invitation. No, we sing because it's something we should do. We should sing. We should sing together. We should. I mean, man, if you don't sing, why not? I can tell you why not. You don't have joy. Why don't I have joy? Because you're not reaping the benefit of a person who is Spirit-controlled. That's one of the benefits. One of the benefits of being Spirit-controlled is that you're going to sing and you're going to have joy. You say, well, why? Because if you are not going to have much joy if you're being controlled by bitterness, anger, sin, lust, pride, fear, you're not going to have joy in your heart if you're controlled by them things. And if you don't have joy, there's no reason to sing. It's going to be hard to sing praise to God if you don't have any joy, and you're not going to have any joy if you're not being controlled by the Spirit. That should make sense. And the problem is when you don't have joy in your heart, and I'll be honest, some of y'all don't have joy. I'll be honest with you, this church is not really, I'm a stranger, don't really get much joy, I'll be honest with you. And I know everybody's got things you're going through. But them things are not supposed to control you. The Spirit doesn't control you. So I mean, if you don't have joy and you're struggling with joy, I'm going to challenge you. Maybe you should think about this. Am I being Spirit controlled? Are you being Spirit controlled? Or are you letting the circumstances control you? What are you being controlled by? As I studied, you know, y'all know me, I'm not a big music guy. But I'll be honest, as I studied, I was challenged, and I think I'm right on this biblically. If you don't sing, there's a spiritual problem in your life. I think I can say that. I know Brother Mark probably appreciates that. The singing here to be a little better. I'll be positive. I ain't gonna say what I had in my notes. I'm very negative. The singing here to be better. I wonder even how we would walk out of this, how we would walk out of here and we all lift our voices. But why don't we lift our voice? Well, I'll be honest with you, I wonder how much joy you have. How much joy do you have? Because here's the thing. If you're not being controlled by the Spirit, you don't have much joy. The most important music should be the music you make to God. Because it's an indication of what you're being controlled by. This morning, if you didn't sing, why didn't you? If you sang half-heartedly, why did you sing half-heartedly? If you could barely hear you, why? Biblically speaking, it's probably because you don't have joy. And joy comes from obedience. And obedience comes from being controlled by the Spirit. I can finally say with authority that not singing, especially at church together, is a spiritual problem. Now, we love listening to music. That's not the same thing. You singing. That's about you singing. What does it say here? Let's look. It says, speaking to yourself, which means to one another in psalm and hymn and spirit, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. That's you. That's you. The consequences of being spirit controlled is joy inward, which will be revealed in one way by singing. Not only inward, but upward. Upward. Letter B here is upward, and it is thankfulness. Verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things and to God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. A thankful person is someone who's spirit controlled. That's going to be one of the consequences. And it says here, always and for all things. So every minute, I'm not saying that is every minute of your life, you can't live, but you have something to be thankful for right now. You're sitting on a padded church pew. I remember I wasn't old enough to, I had padding on the bottom. We had padding on the back. Some of y'all probably remember you had no padding at all, right? Hey, that's what we're thankful for. Everything. You say, well, that's ridiculous. No. The Bible says always and for all things. All things. When I turn the water on, I got drinking water. I got hot and cold. I bathe with drinking water. That's pretty amazing. That's a blessing. But see, you're not going to see them things if you're not spirit controlled. You know why? Because people who are not spirit controlled are not thankful. So if you find yourself, let me ask you, Would people characterize you by being thankful or a critical person? Whatever the answer, if the answer is critical, then I'm going to tell you right now, you have a spiritual problem in your life. You're not being controlled by the Spirit. You say, why? Because for Daryl, a spirit-controlled person is thankful. Gratitude. Which, by the way, if you go to James, and it said, counting all joy when you fall into temptation. James is a painting a picture of a mature Christian. And a mature Christian is someone who will be controlled by the Spirit. So, being thankful indicates what you're controlled by. A spirit-controlled person is going to be a thankful person. That's how they be thankful no matter what's going on, because they're not being thankful because of what's around them. They're thankful for who's controlling them. The abundance or action of gratitude is going to be an indication of how spirit controlled you are. So you know what I did today? I made sure I was thankful I could preach this today. Now, I mean, I'm spirit controlled, but it did. But that's what we do. I mean, that's what I'm saying. That's why you renew your mind. That's why we read the Word of God. Because we don't always get it right, do we? And that's what this week that I studied, that convicted me. And that's a good thing. And that's a good thing. And he said, I want to be spirit controlled. So I'm going to make it a purpose to try to do that. And with the Holy Spirit inside of me, he showed me little things here and there. Little things here and there. Because the problem is we get so caught up in what we don't have as Americans. I'm able to open the refrigerator, get a cold glass of milk. And if I run out, I can go buy some more. Just like that. Man. What a blessing. But the problem, most of us, not that I want this, but most of us can't be thankful for that. Because, well, I'm not driving a brand new car to go get the milk in. You see my point? That's what we do. That's our problem. But so we miss all that because we're not being controlled by the Spirit. We got the inward, the upward, and now the outward. Letter C, the outward, and that is submission. Verse 21, submitting yourself one to another in the fear of God. Each Christian in submission to others, this means unselfishly seeking the other's welfare, willing to serve, and supporting his own independence. It is opposed, what one guy said, it is opposed to rudeness, haughtiness, and selfish preference for one's own opinion and stubborn insistence on one's own rights. So, why would I say it like this then? Oh, you're a rude person who has to speak their mind and opinion and are generally stubborn and hard to get along with? When you go somewhere in public and you have an altercation to the people there, when you walk away to the people, like, you know what, that is one hard to get along with person. Do they describe you as difficult and a pain in the neck? If so, then you probably have a spiritual problem and you're probably not being controlled by the Spirit. Somebody who's controlled by the Spirit has a submits to their rights. Submits to what they think should say. I told this in Sunday school. I went to get some pizza. And I went and ordered. I walked out. Get some stuff at Dollar General. When I come back in. Now, I assumed that they would see me. And when my pizza was ready, they would give it to me. That's how it usually worked. I sat there. I was patient. It didn't pay off, though. You know, it didn't pay off. I had a good attitude. Well, finally, I walked up there. Oh, what's your name? I told him. And then it dawned on me that my pizza had been ready for probably 10 minutes at least. That bothered me. I gotta drive home. Now my pizza gonna be at least 20 minutes cold. But it's true. I'm not trying to be a baby or nothing. It's just true. It's true. I mean, anyone else like me? Am I the only person that's ever been like that? Am I the only one? I'm not. I mean, you know, I'm not. I mean, thankfully, I didn't do anything, I didn't say anything. That's what we're supposed to do. I'm not saying that to get a reward. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be kind. We're supposed to thank you for giving me that. Thank you. Well, but what does a person not control by the Spirit do? They don't do that. They mouth off. They speak their opinion. They're rude. What they do? They say things under the breath, things like that. That's what they do. Why? See, let me read that definition again. Each Christian is in a submission to others, unselfishly seeking to others' welfare, willing to serve, and subordinating his own independence. You want people to know. You want people to know that you didn't do what's right. You want your opinion to be heard. Well, that's a lack of submission. A spirit-controlled person will experience some consequences. Joy, gratitude, and submissiveness. You need to evaluate your conduct and see where you're at. If that doesn't describe you, then you're not allowing your spirit to control you. It's that simple. And I'm going to tell you something. I think we probably, at least I know I do, I struggle with that. Oh, I'm glad I have the Holy Spirit, Brother Mark. I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. But I should care about more than just that. I should care about being controlled moment by moment, day by day. Being controlled by the Spirit. Let me ask you this. We close. What are you controlled by? What are you controlled by? I want you to sit right now as Miss Tammy, Miss Brenda come up to play and you stand on your feet. I want you to think about what are you controlled by. Maybe today, maybe it's fear. You know, we wouldn't really hate on that too, Matt, but what are you controlled by? Fear? Are you controlled by hatred? Are you controlled by somebody you don't like? What are you controlled by? What are you controlled by? You know, I'll be honest with you. And even for me, and I studied this week and prepared, obviously the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And I'll be honest, I don't think I'm the only one that needed to hear this. I don't. I'll be honest with you, I think that this church does need to repent. If I'm just completely honest as a pastor, I don't see just a ton of joy. When we come together, we should be joyous. We should have joy going, hey, we're able to worship God together today. We're able to open His Word and learn more about Him. And they begin to play, if God spoke to you, I want to challenge you. Don't just stay at your seat. I want to challenge you to come to the altar.